Coffee Time Wednesdays with the Prairie Farm Podcast.
Can't hit us with the jingle. Do-do-do-do-do.
Welcome back to the Prairie Farm Podcast. It's been a couple weeks. I wasn't with you guys last week. And what did you even do without your main host? Oh, and Kent's here today as well. Anyway, on to the important things.
Nicholas was gone getting a testosterone therapy, right?
Yes.
That's where your voice is.
Yeah, it was needed. Yeah. Yeah, I was needing some more testosterone because we're trying to ramp up the podcast and I figured I'd make it nice for the listeners. I listened to Ed Milet's podcast, which I found out was like 80% women listen to that podcast and not that many men. But he has like a really deep voice. He's also like 6'8" and just a huge muscly dude.
Can you imagine being 6'8"?
I don't know if he's actually that tall. Like, it might be like 6'4".
Average doorways.
I
think that is the height. 82 inches. Eight. No, that'd be 7 feet, right? Because
eight, no.
There's 72 inches at 6 feet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so no, or no.
84 inches would be 7 feet.
That's right.
82 inches would be 6'10".
6'10", yeah.
But yeah, like I met one guy who was 7'1" once, and it's just like, I'm a pretty tall dude, and I feel shorter sometimes than some people, but I felt like small.
Yeah, it's crazy. When you're around someone that is, I don't know that I've ever been around someone who's 7 feet tall, but I knew a couple people who were, I think, 6'10", and it's like, however big you ever felt in your life before that moment, you do not feel that big anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's just over.
Dude. Well, the other day, my wife was standing on a couple stairs, and I gave her a hug, and I noticed where my head was at. And I said, hey, this is the same height as you to me. And it blew her mind. She's like, what? This is how you see me? A tiny little short dwarf person?
Does it ever bother you that you can't see the top of your head or like the back of your head? Like you go your entire, you go your entire life and you're just like, there's parts of me that I have never seen or never will see.
Well, some of those parts I'm grateful. Give a big thumbs up.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, speaking of that, one time I had a chest x-ray for pneumonia.
Yeah.
And then you can see parts of you that you've never seen before, like your heart and your lungs. And you're like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, that thing's coked and fat. I don't know.
Let's not do that view anymore.
Stop that. So,
what's your topic, Nicholas?
What's my topic? Okay, here is where we're going with this. A while ago.
I got a good topic, so yours better be good.
Mine's pretty good. Quiet down. Doug Durin. But I need several steps to lead into it. Doug Durin was meeting with us, and I was telling him I was training for half marathon. And I said marathon, and then he roasted me for actually meaning half marathon, but claiming it was a marathon. But I was like, come on, dude. It's like a lot of miles. You have the same mentality. It's like start running and don't stop. Anyway, so roasted me, and then I was like, man. Because when you're training for a marathon, unless you're going for like a really high speed, if you're just training to finish, you actually, there's not that much like fat losing cardio involved. It's mostly muscle, like gaining a little bit of muscle, but you need to get in a rhythm. You're not like sprinting. Mm-hmm. Sprinting is cardio, but you get in a, because you can't be doing that heavy a cardio for 3 hours.
Yeah, I think lactic acid is
what. Yeah. Yeah. So it's mostly like a muscle buildup thing, but I was like, yeah, I need to like lose some weight. So I started doing the carnivore and I did it for what? 2.5, 3 weeks, something like that. Well, I'm on it again and I'm over 3 weeks now. And this time I feel way better. So I've been thinking a lot more about meat because I go and buy meat. Also, fun fact about the carnivore, you start out by spending way more money because you need to put so much more in your mouth because every time you put something in your mouth, your body says, this might be carbs. And when it's not, it's like, well, we'll put something else in our mouth and this might be carbs. And it's just like butter. And I do. I eat spoonfuls of butter right now. Yeah, because you got to get your fat. You got to have your fat boost. Otherwise, you really drag on and it's not good. But I'm hardly ever hungry at all. I haven't eaten any. No. I had some carnivore beef jerky today. And the reason you know it's carnivore is because every beef jerky says contains 2% or less of so-and-so. If the brown sugar or artificial flavors is before it says the 2%, you can't have it. It has to be after the 2% or less. Otherwise, it could throw you out of your ketosis. Anyway, doing carnivore, buying meat, not spending very much money. I mean, I'm spending like $10 a day on food for myself, and maybe less if I just eat like beef. Yeah. And so I've been thinking about
how many cows. Sardines are you eating?
None.
You should.
The only fish I eat is salmon, and I'm so bad at cooking it that I quit.
Sardines a lot cheaper than salmon, Nicholas.
Sardines is probably not even real fish. They just like take the lard left over.
Oh, they're real. I just ate a can on Sunday.
And do they taste like fish?
Yeah.
Do they smell like fish?
Yeah.
You know what's wild?
They do not smell good.
Tuna. You know tuna sometimes sells for like $1 million a fish?
Wait, say that again.
The record tuna sold for like $2.4 million.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's the bluefin tuna.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, so there's a story behind that. It's not that, wow, the market price of it's like, you may as well go fishing for diamonds. You know, that's how everyone,
but they're expensive.
That's how everyone interprets that story. But there's like this symbolic thing of when bluefin tuna season opens up, some big, you know, company buys the first bluefin tuna of the year and it goes to the highest bidder type thing. So it's like yeah, they're a valuable fish, but it's not the, you know, I went fishing and I accidentally snagged a 34 carat diamond. And that's what everyone wants it to communicate, right? But it's like, well, it's part of this bigger thing, you know?
Yeah. No, I didn't know that. But I really want to try shark fin soup at some point. But I think there's like an ethical...
an anti-conservation
I know, that's
right
what
there.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But not because I'm like, oh, I think it would taste really good. But it was like in 2015, I looked up most expensive meal in the world, and that's what it was. And I just want to be like, what does a $2 million dish of a food taste like? You know what I mean?
Really that's cost that much. That's probably now since back when I was in fifth grade is when shark fin soup really came under fire. And I remember seeing footage of these fishing vessels, and I think it's in the Indian Ocean or somewhere around there where they were catching these sharks, and you'd see them, they'd haul them right up onto the deck, slice all the fins off the shark, shark's still alive, and they just throw it back in the water.
And then it'd get eaten by its peers, I'm sure.
Yeah, because it can't swim.
Well, and it's bleeding
right
all over the place. I mean, that is horrible and disgusting. But there's so much meat on a shark.
I'm totally fine with people eating shark as long as you're using the whole, you're not being graceful.
You're not cruel. Just like taking the ivory tusk off an elephant and letting it die.
Right.
So anyway, I've been thinking a lot about meat, and I am not a huge fan of eating pork because of the way that most of it's raised. And Matt Hatala is out of pork right now. And although Kent's got some of my Matt Hatala pork in his freezer.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to cash in on that. So I'm eating a lot of beef. I do a little bit of chicken, but it's so lean.
It's going to cost you, Nicholas. It's going to cost you.
Well, the chicken's so lean. It's like, you know, so I do bacon,
bacon
beef.
Is pork.
I know. But like to get fat, I do bacon, I do butter, and I do a lot of like really fatty beef, and I do fat cuts, and the other day I did
sardines,
New York strip.
Sardines.
Fantastic. That sounds terrible.
Fish fat.
Omega yeah, I know 3. That fish, but the only fish I like really like is salmon and eel.
You're going to have to branch out if you're going to do this carnivore thing long.
I don't know. No, it's not going to be long term. I'm shooting for 60 days. We'll see. I am craving ice cream more and more every single day. But listen, so I've been eating a lot of beef, and I have eaten really raw beef because I am not a patient human being. And so, man, the outside looks seared. Oh, it's hot to the touch. All right, let's eat into this. And I have eaten some cold innards of beef. But you can do that. Why can you do that, Kent? I mean, it's not recommended, but why? Like, if you did that with pork, you're getting sick, or chicken. But why not with beef?
Well, a different parasite problem, right? I think pigs are more likely to carry, is it tapeworm cysts in the meat? I know they do that with trichinosis.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's like one big biological difference. I believe in you.
Pork. Yeah, I always thought the reason you cook pork at a higher temp is because of the risk of trichinosis.
Yes, but there's one, pork and chicken have like dirtier, quote unquote, dirtier
processing
diets. But you're getting there. No, not processing is like after killing. They don't have as many stomachs. So what they're taking in, yeah, I looked it up. That's why I like this beef.
I have no idea where I'm really learning at this point.
Thought you would have known.
Yeah, I know that a cow has more stomach chambers than
a pig. Well, I have a good friend who is a doctor, and I was talking because I was like, yeah, one day I started getting a little warm and a little bit of a headache after I ate the really, and I was like, I might be getting sick. And he's like, you'd be surprised how uncooked you can eat beef, and it's because they process their food so thoroughly that by the time it becomes meat, it is meat, not like worms, if that makes sense.
Oh, so because they carry a lower parasite load because the food is spending more time in digestive acid.
I know that is a big part of it. Yeah, okay. The stomach. There's probably other parts.
Yeah, that
but
makes,
think about like yeah, cows are also sense. Like preferring like grass, and pigs are preferring like bones of humans if you listen to the horror stories.
Yeah.
But anyway, so all this to get to my point. What do cows want to eat? Not just cool season grass. They do love some munchy cool season grasses and some legumes, which I guess you can't give them too many legumes because then they get bloated. It's basically like ice cream multiple for me. Chambered. Yeah.
All that fermentation.
And but we were talking to a gentleman. The podcast will come out soon, but Pete is what we call him. And we went over some things, and I've really been researching because we've had a lot of native pasture mixes, like inquiries toward, and I let people know, hey, we're not experts on what cows want. My dad had cows for a long time. He's had hogs as well and worked with hogs, but we're not experts on what cows or sheep or goats want. No, goats will eat anything, but, mm-hmm. From Pete's experience, he said, oh yeah, they'll chew that big blue stem right down, switchgrass right down, little blue stem, Indian grass, they'll chew it all right down, but they really, really love cup plant. It's like ice cream to them. Mm. I think that's so fascinating. But cup plant likes wetter areas, and I don't know if that's correlated at all or not.
Maybe a higher moisture content in the plant.
It's like ice cream. It's soft. It's almost like liquid. Yeah. I really want ice cream. I brought up this whole thing just to talk about ice cream. Dude.
Carnivore diet's great. Ice cream. You said, I don't know if you know this, Nicholas, but you've said ice cream no less than 19 times.
I don't know. In this podcast. Ice cream. I don't know. So I had a friend who was visiting, a few friends that were visiting. Danielle and I opened our coffee shop this past
weekend. Shout out to Bria, regular podcast listener, came up and introduced herself.
Somewhat regular. Catherine's the regular one. Sorry, Catherine.
I didn't mean Catherine. Sorry,
that's
Catherine.
Okay. Yeah, you should have met Catherine. And a friend named Ben. And Ben was making jokes all weekend. He's like, just put meat seasoning on that. like we're opening a coffee shop. I can't taste any of the coffee. And he's like, just put meat seasoning in there. And then we went to Culver's. And, dude, I almost caved on my carnivore diet on Sunday night. I almost caved.
What'd you get instead? I'll just take the burger patty.
Four burger patties, baby. That's all I ate.
And six raw shrimp, please.
I don't even think they have. Do they have
shrimp?
Oh, man. Dude, anyway, that was a long tangent just to let people know that I'm suffering.
He's losing weight, though, people.
Yeah,
he's starting to look unhealthy the other way.
No, here's the thing. When I used to like work out a lot, and 190, 195 was like a healthy Nicholas is fit workout weight. I have very little muscle on my body anymore. I don't play sports. You know what I mean?
He's a certified desk jockey.
I'm outside dealing with seed. 2, maybe 3 times a week for reasonable amounts of time. And I've done a lot of home renovations, building flipping, but like, I'm not active as like a lifestyle, you know, yeah. Kent's active like a lifestyle. So anyway, my point is I don't have that much muscle. So I actually should only weigh like 180, 175 pounds.
Whatever, a skeleton plus a few organs.
Yeah, what's that weight again? 140? Letting people into my personal life, mostly because I have a very small personal bubble.
Yes, that is true. There are very few boundaries with Nicholas, and we will not explore those boundaries at this time. But I have a great topic. That was a pretty good topic, though, Nicholas. Yeah. And also, be on the lookout for that interview with Pete. Or I think you say his last name, Araldi.
Araldi, yeah. Araldi. I think it's Araldi.
Yeah, probably. But fascinating conversation. And we talk about shark attacks and crocodile attacks and grizzly attacks too, I think, in that episode. I think somehow all of those things made it into that conversation. And Pete just rolls with it. He's great. Yeah. He's game to talk about anything. But that is going to be a really good podcast coming up soon. But another really good podcast that we had recently was with our good friend, our dear friend, Mr. Judd McCollum.
Oh, good guy.
Man, wish Judd was here right now.
Yeah.
Judd, thanks for sending me or cluing me into this topic today. Judd tagged me in
about
the comment.
Hunter Biden.
No. Judd tagged me in a post by a guy, I believe his name is pronounced Derek DeBoer, who posted, he said, something along the lines, here is the original apple tree that our great uncle so-and-so first identified red delicious apples growing on. Like, yeah, that first tree.
Oh, the original.
Not like the first red delicious apples that he had on his farm, and now he's got a big orchard, and we're so thankful for the first tree. No, the tree.
That's like, crazy.
So yeah. And just how crazy, let's put this into context here. One of my favorite things of Iowa trivia is the painting American Gothic, right? American Gothic painted by Grant Wood.
With the high schoolers with the black collars and eyeshadow.
No, not that American Gothic. You know the one, right? With the farmer.
Yeah,
the
pitchfork.
Yeah, the farmer and his wife, and one of them has a pitchfork, and they have no smiles on their face, and the husband's like staring straight forward, and his wife is kind of looking off to the side. And
yeah, what's the point of that?
Well,
and it doesn't seem like that good of a painting. Like, in terms of like technical.
Name a painting that is more famous.
No. It's very famous.
That's my point. Name a painting that's more famous. You can't. Somebody would say Mona Lisa? It's just as famous as Mona Lisa. I might argue with you on that, but I'll put it up there.
Because
what you gauge it off of is how much does it circulate in pop culture.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like.
Or like how many people just as many know
times,
what it is.
Just as many times as Mona Lisa has been like featured in SpongeBob and Sesame Street and you know, a million other ways, TV shows,
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
American Gothic's right there with it, right? And I love that fact because all the hoity-toity people out there that think that Iowa is just some like country bumpkin, like Nowheresville.
To be fair, the painting is pumped of country
bumpkin. But that's what's so awesome about it. It's like, yeah, but from a culturalist, right? Like one of the most cultured paintings to ever exist comes from the middle of nowhere, Iowa, right? Well, the same thing, the same level of clout is true about the red delicious apple. When you think of an apple, 99.9% of people, what is the first picture that pops into their head?
A red manzana.
Yeah, just a red apple sitting on a teacher's desk or something, right? It's like it's an icon. Well, that turns out the first time anyone ever identified a red delicious apple, it was grown on this random farm in Peru, Iowa, which is in Madison County. So,
oh, wow.
Winterset area, the bridges of Madison County. Yeah. Not even as famous as the red delicious apple. So this guy posted, Derek did and said, oh, there's the tree where this all began. And, so I'm going to just, this is from, the website, called Apple Holler. But appleholler.com, a website devoted to apples. And it tells a story. It's also featured on Wikipedia, but it was discovered in the 1870s. So the article is just titled The Red Delicious Apple. The Red Delicious Apple variety was discovered in the 1880s, and it was just this seedling that was growing on this guy named Jesse Hyatt's farm in Peru, Iowa.
Okay? Hmm.
And he just viewed it as like basically a weed, like something that was in the way of farming or whatever. So he tried cutting it down several times, and every time it would come back. So finally, he's like, you know what? If it wants to live that bad, I'll let it live. and I'll let it produce fruit. And sure enough, the thing starts bearing red, delicious apples.
So like no one had seen them before then, or?
Well, they obviously had to have existed, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if, I mean, it may have been one of those things where people were always eating them, but never thought anything, or didn't eat them. They just fed them to their livestock or something. And then somebody finally was like, no, let's do something with this. So he actually took it to, so this is still in the same article. In 1893, Jesse took his apple, which he called the Hawkeye, to a fruit show in Missouri. And at the show, there was a nursery called the Stark Brothers Nursery.
Kent, you're pulling your mic away.
Oh, sorry. They made a deal with Jesse Hyatt to sell him the rights to his Red Delicious variety.
Oh, and, big business mistake.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, like, go back is probably like, yeah, we'll give you $800 for...
Yeah,
you know,
which is honestly like...
A lot of money back then, but...
$20,000 or something.
But like yeah, you know, like today, just think of what it'd be... anyways.
Yeah.
So the Stark Brothers Nursery bought it, and they changed the name of it from the Hawkeye to the Stark Delicious. But they were also... This is all according to this article from Apple Holler. But they also were growing a...
Written by like a fifth grader. It's like their project is they have to make their own website. Now Kent's reading it on the air.
We got some serious clout. This is so-and-so. Here's a Red Delicious apple. So they were growing a Golden Delicious apple variety as well. And they didn't want it to be confused because Stark's not a color, you know.
Yeah.
So they were like, let's call it the Red Delicious apple. So all of that, the most iconic apple from the middle of nowhere, Iowa, just like American Gothic, you know, one of the most iconic pieces of art.
Well, here's what I think about the Red Delicious apple. I think at its peak, it's the best apple, but it goes bad the fastest. Like it can immediately turn to a watery.
Arabidose. That's the name of the enzyme that causes apples to burn.
You knew that, but you couldn't guess the four stomach thing.
Well, I knew cows had multiple stomach chambers, but
the stuff you know, dude, the stuff you don't know is just astounding to me, man. Yeah, Ken didn't know you're supposed to wash your underwear between every wear.
Yeah, who does that? I'm kidding.
Oh man, but That's fascinating. Yeah. Straight from Madison County. Yeah. You know, there's a big...
Thank you, Judd, for sharing that, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, Judd. There's a big seed vendor out of Madison County. Yeah. I wonder if they know where that farm is. I wonder if the tree is still there. Obviously not alive, but maybe there's a stump or something.
Yeah, I mean, in the post that that Judd tagged me in, it seemed to be still the original tree.
Yep. Interesting, dude. That is so fascinating. Oh, man, guys. I just opened a coffee shop this weekend. I'm very tired.
But we're not going to talk about that coffee shop because it doesn't sponsor Coffee Time Wednesday.
No, it does not. It does not. But you know what, coffee shop? Well, I guess they don't have a shop. They're
but
just a
that's coming
coffee distributor.
Eventually, I believe, right?
That's I think, a good question. Benton, is it coming? Shoot us a text or
I think
email.
Marshall talked about that when we interviewed him.
Oh, but maybe. That was like 2 months ago.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I just chatted with Benton the other day. Joy and I did, but he was talking about their different options and different deals that they're working in the future, and they just got exciting stuff. But for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, Wild Rivers Coffee, they are 2% certified. So at least 1%, I want to get this clear because I think we were a little off on this before, 1% of their manpower and 1% of their profits go to a conservation cause. And so 2% certified is like it's basically like
2% for conservation is the organization that,
yes,
that certifies.
And they basically go in and audit and they certify you or not. So they are certified, but Marshall made it really clear. He's like, it's at least bare minimum 2%. I think they do quite a bit more in most of their cases. And they just got a cool story and they got good coffee. They do a good job.
Great
They're very methodical,
which I still need to order the signature blend. I meant to do that yesterday. I'm going to do it today for sure.
Man,
That's my last blend to try.
And then
I think the dark roast is going to
give us a rating.
The dark roast is currently my favorite. However, The other ones are great too.
We need to talk about chocolate on this podcast, but not today. It's a big deal, and we'll have to talk about it next time.
That's your assignment, Nicholas.
Chocolate. It's an issue. It's an issue, and it has to do with coffee as well. So, yeah. Well.
Yeah, so go try some Wild Rivers coffee. You can find a link to their website in the show notes.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, not many coffee companies out there, including one that's located in Knoxville, Iowa, where every cup of coffee that you buy. Actually, no, that's not true because Nicholas works here. So when you support them, you support conservation because you support Nicholas. But directly off your sale of any coffee purchased through Wild Rivers, coffee is going to go to a conservation effort, which is one of a kind.
Yeah, truly, truly astounding. Well, we enjoyed the cows.
Yeah.
And we enjoyed American Gothic's apples. And we'll talk to you next time.
See ya.